Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
My name is Melissa, and I'm going to start by reading the word of the Lord. Here we go, Exodus 34, 4 to 8. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. And that is the word of the Lord. Okay, so I'm one of the youth pastors here at City Life, if you're wondering who I am. Yeah, we have a good crew, okay? We have a good crew. Just saying. And I have the honor this morning of talking about who God is. We're on a series, God Has a Name, and I am zeroing in on the characteristic of God being slow to anger. And this is hilarious because I am not that. And my husband and my children, they're like, yeah, it is true. And you know, the Lord knows that once I had children, anger became my best friend. We're very close. I don't know how to get rid of her. It's a tough time, okay? But thankfully, this is not me talking about what I've learned about slow to anger, because I don't know. I'm still learning. But this is about how God is slow to anger. Who is thankful this is about the Lord? Not Melissa. And last week, Pastor Monica, she kicked off the series. And so if you did not hear last week's message, I encourage you to, because she started off with the first characteristics of God being compassionate and gracious. And what we've learned about Scripture, that the rule of first mention is very important. So if God first says, I'm compassionate and gracious, then that helps us understand slow to anger. So I encourage you, listen to that message. But in reading Exodus, this is what is hilarious and amazing, is after all that God has done for Moses and the Israelites. So previous to this point that we see God revealing himself to Moses, you guys, Moses and the Israelites, the amount of miracles these people are seeing, they've got a good track record. Like, they're one-upping me on the amount of miracles they're seeing. These people, like, they see the sea split in two. They cross on dry land to the other side. Never seen that before. I feel like that might be like, yep, God, you're real if you saw that, right? You know, they're freed from slavery. They've been in bondage for a very long time, and they're finally freed from slavery. That's a miracle. You know, them in the desert, God provides food and water. Miracle, right? And if you read about it, like about manna from heaven and about the quail and about the water from the rock, miracles. Okay, so these are things that they've experienced previous to this point where we find Moses. And after all of this, Moses is like, God, show me your glory. I want to know you. What do you not know? Like, I don't understand. If I was God, which we're glad I'm not, it's like, after all I've done for you, what more do you want, child, right? But still, this is how we see God react. God reveals himself to Moses. He does show him his glory, and he gives himself a name. There are plenty of names that man has given to God. But in Exodus 34, God himself tells Moses who he is. This is God's like self-disclosure statement. The Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And this is a big deal too, because the people at this time, like the ancient gods that people would have worshipped at this time, were not those things. They were very fickle, angry. You know, people were afraid. They were like giving offerings because they wanted to appease the gods. So people reading this at that time, would be like, okay, who's this guy, you know? So here's a question I have for you. Who do you say God is? So if you were to describe or give a characteristic of who God is, one word, think about it. What would it be? Would you use one of the characteristics God describes him as? Or is it a different word? And when it comes to God's anger, what belief do you live out of most? That God is always angry? That he is never angry? Or that he's slow to anger? And I think that those questions are really important for us to answer. I hope you know the answer that you have, because how we view God or who we think God is greatly affects the way we live our life. And so we're going to look at God being slow to anger. And I know myself and anger, and I'm guessing I'm not alone. And so I'm just going to pray over us this morning. But God, we thank you, Father, for this morning. We ask that you would help us to understand your anger. God, help give us an understanding and wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us this morning and you would show us your glory. In Jesus' name. Okay, so I have 3 points. The first point is God is slow, keyword slow, to anger. Everybody say slow. Okay, when we see God's anger throughout the Bible, when you're reading through scripture, you may react in different ways. Maybe when you read about his anger, you're shocked. Maybe you're confused. What's Lord? Or you're angry at his anger. I'm an angry at anger person. I'm like, what? How dare you? How dare you be mad at me? That's loud. Sorry, Rich. I don't know if that's too loud. But I might do that a lot because I'm talking about anger and it riles me up. So, you know, I don't know how you respond when you're reading about God's anger in the Bible, but in our society today, we really resonate with love. We love love. We love loving each other and Jesus loving us and us loving Jesus and loving that love. We love love, right? We love it. Oh, we do. Don't punish me. Don't get angry. Don't disagree with me. Love, baby. I love Austin Powers. I shall not go there. But, you know, maybe a reason that we have a hard time understanding God's anger is because we're actually associating God's anger with our anger, right? So Lord knows my anger is out of impatience or not getting my way or my ego being wounded, right? That's usually where my anger comes from. It's out of me seeking my good and not getting it. You with me? Okay, I just gotta know. So we are accustomed to our own angry outbursts or the outbursts of others, maybe children, people on the road, people of the internet, you know? We see this anger that creates division and war and pain. And then we associate that anger with God's anger, right? I have to remind myself, the Lord ain't me. He is the one who created all. He sees all. He knows all. He is above time and space. He is fully good, fully righteous. That is who God is. I'm like a baby worm compared to him, right? I'm just like, oh, you know, and I think I'm so smart. But God is different from us. So therefore, his anger probably looks different from our anger. He's not hot-tempered, mad at the world, just like flying off the handle, being a nutcase, right? From this self-disclosure statement in Exodus 34, he is first compassionate and gracious and then slow to anger. God does get mad, but it takes a long time and a lot of effort on our behalf. In Hebrew, What's interesting, so the people who had first written this, it would have been written in Hebrew, and the word slow to anger is pronounced erech apayim, and it literally means long of nostrils. Just bear with me. You're like, I don't follow. So Tim Mackey, he did a word study, and he explained it. In Hebrew, the main words for anger are nose or heat or hot nose. So the common biblical Hebrew way to say someone is angry is their nose burned hot. So it gives the example of the story of Joseph. When Potiphar thinks that Joseph tried to sleep with his wife, his nose burned hot. Translated, his anger burned. Makes sense. It's describing how your body, mostly your face, gets hot with anger. So that's why a patient person in the Bible is called long of nose. It takes a long time for their nose to get hot. Neat, huh? It's pretty neat, yeah. So this description of God by God is he is long of nose. He is slow to anger. And other translations say he is patient or long-suffering. That's a good one, long-suffering. So God does get angry. But you really have to work at it. It's not God's default setting. His anger is not like our anger. His starting point is compassionate and gracious. Therefore, he is slow to anger. And so maybe you're here today and you need to hear God is slow to anger. Because in your mind's eye, you think God's ready to pounce. You think God is so, he's just like watching your every move and he's like, oh! You did it again. You know, he's like ready to point the finger, like he's disappointed with you, angry with you all the time. No, he's not. That's not how he describes himself or what scripture reveals to us. He is slow to anger. My second point is God is slow to anger. Keyword, anger. Okay, so I'm going to put something out there, a question. Is anger in itself a bad thing? What do you guys think? Good answer. That was my answer too. Yeah, you're right. That was what I was going to say. I'm going to suggest it is not a bad thing in itself. In Ephesians 4, 26 to 27, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So in this scripture, Paul is not saying, don't you dare be angry. You're a big old sinner if you're getting mad. You better stuff that emotion way down and not let anybody see it or else you're a bad Christian. He doesn't say that, and he probably doesn't talk like that either. So, great. But he says, sin not in your anger. So he's telling us, you can and you will get angry. And that's okay, but don't sin in your anger. Meaning, it is very easy to sin in your anger. Yes, I know. He doesn't say, and it's funny, he doesn't say, be joyful and sin not, right? Because joy doesn't lead to sin as quickly as anger does. But it is possible to be angry and not sinful. In Psalm 7:11, God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. So God's angry every day. Jesus, we see, gets angry in the New Testament. So anger must be a good thing. If it was bad, God wouldn't do it because God is only good. So, okay, anger must be a good thing. And Tim Keller gives this explanation of anger. This is what anger is, the capacity to be roused to action by the sight of evil. Anger is an emotion to tear down bad things, to tear down injustice in order to defend something precious. So anger is put into us by God. It's a part of us being in his image. Therefore, it's a precious thing. Who thought they were going to come to church and hear that anger is a precious thing? All my angry people are like, yeah, huh. Right? My angry people, it's okay. You can, you know, vocalize with me. I know you're out there. But here's how anger gets sinful. If it is meant to defend something good and attack something that's evil, But if what we are defending is selfishness, is our ego, our reputation, our pride, or our agenda, and we attack by releasing that energy to take down people, that's when it gets sinful, right? It's like this nuclear energy that just like, and destroys everyone around you. So, like, I'll do a lot of confessing this morning, but I did not realize how angry I was until I had children. And it's because they interrupt my plans all day, right? Like, you have this agenda, and then they're like, nope. And you're like, cool. Why do I plan? Why do I live? I don't know. Never mind. But at the end of the day, this is all I want. You guys, this is all I want. I seem like I'm a lot. I just want simple things, okay? I just want a peaceful, quiet, clean house. You know, this is what I'm picturing at the end of my day, right? Oh, that sounds nice. You know, maybe I'll read a book. Maybe I'll watch a show. Maybe I'll just have a nice little chat with my husband. Good luck. Yeah. Yeah, you know where this is going. So you put the children to bed. You know, this is just an ideal. This sounds nice. I put the children to bed. You come downstairs. Oh, it's feeling nice. And what happens? Mom. I'm going to do it 3 times. Listen. Mom. That's actually Audrey. She sounds like a dying cat. Okay. Mom. I need water. You're like, are our children dehydrated? What is it with water? I don't know. I was thinking about this. I was like, every person jokes about their kid needing water. So do we need to give them more water during the day? So then at nighttime, it's like, we've dealt with it. My anger. You guys, you're seeing me get angry right now. Oh, okay. I gotta shake it off. Okay, so you know. We're happy, happy. You run upstairs. You know, you deal with the water. You give the kid the water, and then you put him back to bed, and then you go back downstairs. Round one. You're like, okay. Yeah. Mom! The lights are too bright. You're like, of course they are. They always are. So you run upstairs, back downstairs, round two. Mom! And by that point, I have lost my mind. Actually, I have to confess something. I don't even make it to round one. They literally, you guys, they don't even call for me anymore. They just call for dad. That's how big my problem is. So, it sounds funny. It's not. Okay, but we made it funny. But Melissa, in your anger, do not sin. Oh, Lord, my anger is sinful because I made an idol of comfort, right? I'm defending this peaceful moment that I've made an idol, and I attack by tearing down my sweet little babies who are dehydrated. Wow, really worked this into a comedy act here. Okay. But God doesn't sin. God is good. And God's anger is born out of justice, out of his love for us. You know, when you see true injustice, like my kids needing water isn't true injustice, even though it feels like it. But true injustice is like when you see a kid being bullied on the playground, right? The loving thing to do is to be angry at that situation and then to let that anger lead me to stop the injustice. Like, I'm not gonna tear the kid a new one, but like in love and being firm, you can still lovingly be like, no, this is not okay. When humans oppress each other and ruin his world, when we are mean or unjust or selfish, unfeeling, vengeful, murderous, greedy, jealous, the list goes on. God hates evil. He hates sin because of what it does to people around us and his world. So God gets angry at sin, at evil, at injustice. I mean, if God didn't get angry at injustice and sin and evil, he wouldn't be loving. And so in the Bible, anger is an expression of his justice and his love for the world. but he's slow to anger, which means he gives people a lot of time to change. He is patient with us. He is long of nose. Thank you, Lord, you are long of nose. So maybe you need to hear that God is slow to anger, that he does get angry because you're living in sin, or you're doing evil things, or knowingly disobeying God, and you think it doesn't matter to him. It does matter. He is patient, but there comes a time where he does anger. So anger in itself is not bad, but we should not sin in our anger. Because God loves us, he gets angry at injustice, but he is slow to anger. So my last point is how God deals with anger. How does God deal with his anger at sin and evil? So the Bible Project, they gave a great example. In the story of Exodus, when we see Pharaoh, he's enslaved the Israelites, and he has all of their baby boys thrown into the waters. He's a real great guy. God sends Moses to confront Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is given 10 chances to let Israel go free. But after the 10th refusal, Pharaoh rides out to destroy the Israelites. And so God destroys him in the waters. So God's anger is expressed by handing Pharaoh over to the consequences of his own decisions. Another example is with the story of God's people, the Israelites. Over and over, for hundreds of years, they betray the God who rescued them from slavery. And though he gives them many chances to turn around, they keep giving their allegiance to the gods of other nations. They wanted to serve other gods. And so God, in his just anger, gives them over to what they want. He gave them over to the hands of their enemies. And then we see their enemies circle back around and defeat Israel. In the New Testament, in Romans 1, 18 and 24, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Verse 24, therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. So how does God deal with his anger towards human evil? Oftentimes, it is by handing people over to their destructive desires, their decisions, or their enemies, even if it leads to death. Lord knows, there have been many things in my life that I really wanted that were really bad for me. And God gave me over to those things. He's like, okay, like I've given you wisdom, but you want that thing? I'll let you have it. And it sucks, right? You're like, you get that thing, you're like, okay, that was pretty awful. And then you're living with the consequences of that. But you learn. For me, thank God, I didn't die. I came to my senses. I repented. I'm like, God, I'm really sorry. And I think if we get honest with ourselves, despite our good efforts or the few good things we do in a day, or not flying off the handle at somebody, despite all of that, if we're honest with the true condition of our hearts, we are daily wrestling with our selfishness, our pride, our criticism, judgment, revenge-seeking, murderous thoughts. Like, sin is in us. It's not just something we do, but it's something that's a part of us. It's our human nature. And because God is fully good and fully just, he hates evil. It makes sense. And so that sin actually deserves a punishment. If anybody here has been wronged or seen injustice or had injustice done to them, you know it deserves a punishment. And by God's standards, sin deserves death. But here's the good news, people. We're not ending it there. Because we have good news of how God dealt with his anger at sin. In Romans 5, 6 to 9, you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how does God deal with his anger on sin and evil? Jesus, who knew no sin, had never sinned, became sin on our behalf on the cross. And God's wrath at sin and evil, instead of it going onto us, it went onto Christ. And so Christ actually paid the penalty for our sin upon himself. So everything sinful or wicked that has ever happened, that we have ever done, that we are doing, that we will do, or it has been punished on God himself, on Jesus, who had never sinned. And it's because God doesn't want to destroy us. God loves us. So he dealt with his wrath, the deserved punishment that sin deserves. He dealt with it on himself instead of on us. And so, like, this is incredible. This is just, okay, but there's more. When we accept what Jesus has done for us and we give our lives back to him, we are not only saved from the wrath of God against sin, but we share in the righteousness of Christ. He gives us a new life. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us conquer those things. He helps us be the person that we're meant to be. And he promises us that one day he will return and he will make all things right. Justice will fully come. And he's going to redeem the earth and dwell with those who love him. This is incredible. It actually is, I think, it's almost too incredible to understand fully. And here's the thing. If you don't accept the payment Christ made on your behalf, you will have to stand before God on your own and take account for your life. It's not an exclusive thing. His arms are wide open. He's like, no, I did this for you. But if we're unwilling to accept that payment for our sin, then we must stand before God on our own. But he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And this is the God I willingly give my life to. And I mean, I'm going to read from 2 Peter 3. Peter's writing to the church, and it's really powerful. So I wanted to encourage us with this. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. So God is patient with us. I love that part. God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is first compassionate and gracious. Therefore, he is slow to anger. And because of his love for us, Christ dealt with God's anger at sin and died on our behalf. And he welcomes all of us to accept this gift of forgiveness of sin and a new life in him. And all we have to do is respond. It's incredible. All we have to do is say, I'll accept that. Thank you. And I want to follow you. Like, I mean, living a Christian life is not the easiest thing. But the fact that that is our starting point, that's pretty amazing. That God loves you. And I want us to respond to him today. And you know, if you're like, okay, I do want to respond. I want to give him my yes to what he has done for me. Man, heaven is cheering. I mean, that is an awesome day. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what Christ has done. And I also want to pray for us who struggle with anger. And I want to pray, you know, Christ, when he dealt with our sin, the sin that is caused, you know, on outbursts of anger, he gave us his righteousness. So we actually, the Holy Spirit helps us to live with self-control. And he gives us patience. And so I just want to pray even this morning that certain things are like broken off of your life when it comes to anger and sin. Would you rise? Would you stand with me? And I want to encourage you. You know, I think how we stand, our postures are so important. And so would you, if you feel like you ought, just put your hands out in front of you as we receive this gift from God. God, thank you for being in this place, O Lord. Thank you, God, that you are far above anything we can comprehend. You are so good. You are compassionate and gracious. You are slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Thank you that that's who you are. God, I pray for those who maybe have had wrong ideas or a picture of who you are. God, I pray that you make that picture right. God, we would have an understanding of your character today. Father, I pray that if our own anger has, we've just kind of mirrored that onto your anger, God, I pray that you would change that. Help us understand that your anger is out of love and justice. And for all of those, God, who want to respond to your amazing gift, your gift of salvation, your gift where you dealt with our sin on the cross, that you gave us forgiveness, that we have your righteousness, Christ, because of the life you lived, not because of anything we deserved. God, for those who are here and they're wanting to respond to you, you can just, we're all going to pray this together, but you can repeat after me. You can say, thank you, God, for your forgiveness, for dealing with my sin on yourself, on Christ. Thank you for your sacrifice. And thank you for this new life that you have so freely given. I give my life to you, Lord, from this day forward, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for all of those who are struggling with anger. God, where it's anger that's just becomes more of an energy that tears others down in not a good way. And Father, I just want to pray over all of those who are really struggling with anger. God, we just declare you have freed us from the sin of anger. God, you have freed us. But God, that you have actually put anger in us as a good thing. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you would start switching our minds to seeing the anger as a gift, but that it needs to be taken out on injustice. God, I pray that we would, from this moment forward, God, you would just shift something in our minds, in our thinking, in our hearts. God, where we just feel like it's been a prayer over and over. God, please don't let me get angry. Lord, we're asking, Father, would you give us healing in that area in Jesus' name? God, healing in this area. Father, that we're actually going to be people who are standing up for injustice, but we are going to be gentle and loving, but firm. We're going to use that anger that you've given us for good things, for God things. God, that we're going to be able to just see the weak, those who can't speak for themselves, and we'll be a voice for them, O Lord. So God, we thank you, God, for the redeeming of anger. God, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. You are so good. We give our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.